You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the joy and the privilege of coming to share with you. I'm sure by this time you are looking forward to have Pastor Bin back after almost 3 months, right, that he has been away. And glad to hear that he is actually back in Perth. But at the same time, I just want to just commend your elders for doing a great job over the last 3 months of looking after your church. And I think we should acknowledge that and just thank God for Simon and his team and all the elders and staff that is here. Praise God. Well, you've been on this amazing series entitled Unlikely Heroes. And in this series, I'm sure that you have learned that the Bible is full of unlikely heroes. And we have discovered that God loves to use the least and the lowest to actually display His glory, His character, and His power. And this morning, I had the privilege of bringing this series to a climactic end, I think, with the greatest unlikely heroes of all times, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you now to bow your hearts with me. We pray and we commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the joy and the privilege of sharing your word this morning. And I pray that as your word is being unfolded, as we once again catch a glimpse of the greatest game changer of all history, our Lord Jesus Christ, unlikely as he may be to be that hero of the world, I pray that you come and inspire us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Some of you may ask, you know, why is Jesus an unlikely hero? And I want to give you 5 key reasons why. Number one is this. I think he came from the wrong place of origin. How many of you agree? Came from a wrong place of origin. Jesus actually came from a very poor village called Nazareth. Archaeological research actually suggests that during the time of Christ, only 120 to 150 people lived in a little town called Nazareth. It's actually a tiny, obscure farming village without even a city wall. So that's how obscure it was. It was just tiny. And I think that's what prompted Nathanael to actually ask this question in John chapter 1, verse 46. Remember, he said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And it's because it's such an unlikely place. It is the most unlikely place to find the Messiah of Israel. It should have been Rome or Greece or something like that. And even though Nazareth was an unlikely place of origin, but I need you to understand that Jesus' actual birthplace was a fulfillment of prophetic scripture. How do we know that? It's because the prophet Michael actually prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Listen to what it says here. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So Jesus came from a little town called Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. And that is actually a fulfillment of prophetic scripture. How did this come about? Actually, Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7 paints us the picture. How did he end up coming from a little town called Nazareth but born in Bethlehem? Because Luke chapter 2 tells us, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So it was because of a divine appointment that Joseph and Mary had to leave their home in Nazareth to fulfill the census that was going on in Bethlehem. everybody's got to go back to their town of origin to actually get registered. And it was there that Jesus was born, in fulfillment of prophetic scriptures, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So here's the thing. Why is Jesus an unlikely hero? It's because he came from an unlikely place, but he was born in fulfillment of a prophetic word. Are you with me? And I think that's an unlikely place to have a hero. Here's the second thing. The second thing was because Jesus had the wrong parentage and background. See, the greatest game changer in history, brothers and sisters, was born out of wedlock, actually. It's born out of wedlock. And what an unlikely hero that would be. The Holy One of Israel was conceived in shame and humiliation. How unlikely is that? See, by that time, Mary was already betrothed to be married to Joseph. And this means that they had publicly vowed to be married, but not yet living together. The marriage was not yet consummated. It would have been a shameful thing, therefore, for Mary to be found pregnant. How many of you agree? Right? It actually means that the only logical conclusion that Joseph can draw would be that she was unfaithful to him. That would be the only logical conclusion. She was not faithful. But I want you to know that Joseph was a gentleman and he wanted to quietly dissolve their engagement rather than to shame her in public. How do we know that? Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, tell us this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, she had in mind to divorce her quietly. But it was only because of an angelic visitation that he changed his mind. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. That's how I found out. It says like this. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and then said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. But even so, it was a bad start, how many of you agree? Because it would mean that Jesus was conceived out of wedlock. That's the way the world will perceive it. And Jesus was an unlikely hero because he came from a wrong parentage and family background. Wrong place of origin, wrong parentage and background. Here's the third thing. He's also an unlikely hero because he started in a wrong position in society. Now, I think that if Jesus was meant to be the savior of the world, it would make more sense for him to be born into royalty. How many of you agree with that? It's better to let him be born in royalty. But Jesus was born into an ordinary carpenter's home. Now, he may not be born in abject poverty, because I don't think he is, since he was a skilled worker and his family could afford to travel to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. But at the same time, he was by no means prosperous because the family offered the sacrifice. Remember when Jesus was meant to be go through the rite of purification in the temple? The family actually offered the sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, this would mean this. It actually means that it was a concession for those who could not afford a lamb for sacrifice. Now, let me read for you what happened. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, tell us this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem so they could afford to make that journey, to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, which is what? A pair of doves or two young pigeons. So that's the offering that they brought. But Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8 also tells us this. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In other words, if you are offering a pigeon or you're offering a dove, it means this, that you cannot afford a lamb. So it was actually a concession for the poor. Now, I think that Jesus came actually from a poorer family. Okay, and Jesus was an unlikely hero because he came from the wrong end of the social ladder. Right? Unlikely hero. Wrong place. It's just wrong position, wrong parentage. And here's another one. He also had a wrong persona, a wrong appearance. Okay? Most Hollywood production depicts Jesus, and I've seen most of it, except for one. All the Hollywood production that depicts Jesus always portray him as a tall, handsome man with long flowing hair, chiseled good looks, and in most all of them. But really, I don't think that this was the case. I don't think that was the case. I think they, out of respect, you know, gave him, always make him look really amazing. But I don't think that's the case. Why? Because Isaiah 53, verse 2 and 3, records this. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their face, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. The prophet Isaiah saw this vision of the Messiah, and I think he must have been completely puzzled by the vision that he saw of the Messiah in Isaiah 53. Because in the Jewish mind, they were expecting a majestic king, like King David of old. But what he saw was a suffering savior. There was no beauty, there was no majesty to attract us to him. There is nothing in his appearance that we would find him desirous. In other words, Jesus was very ordinary in appearance. Now, he must certainly be kind and compassionate, which is that is why the children were drawn to him. But I don't think that he would be deemed attractive in the eyes of men. I have a feeling that Jesus is more like me than Pastor Bin, you know, your handsome pastor. He would be more like me. Ordinary guy. Nothing that desirous. But I suspect that even his personality may not be the most charismatic. He was a man who is acquainted with sorrow and pain. Probably not the most fun person to be with or the most popular guy in town. I think Jesus was an unlikely hero also because of a wrong persona. So put all that picture together. Wrong place, wrong parentage, wrong position in society, wrong persona. And I'll leave you one more. I think he had a wrong plan or purpose. The last thing I want to leave with you is this. I think Jesus was an unlikely hero because he was not the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. They were expecting one who is like the next King David, who will ride into Jerusalem on a mighty stallion, that he would drive out all the Roman oppressors and establish Israel once again as the glorious people of God. All of them were longing for Israel to return to their former glory. And their hope was in this Messiah that is going to come and do all these things for them. But Jesus surprised his disciples. Even his own disciples was puzzled when he unveiled his plan and purpose in Matthew 16. Listen to what Jesus said to them. He said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffered many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and then on the third day be raised to life. Immediately after he said that, Peter immediately took him aside and began to rebuke him. He says, never, Lord. He can't even accept it. That is not possible. You are supposed to be the great Messiah who come to deliver us. He says, no. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus had to turn and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. In other words, you are not minding the agendas of God. You are minding the agendas of men. They expected a king riding in on a horse, but what they got was a servant riding on a donkey. They expected a conqueror. What they got was a carpenter. They wanted a commander, but Jesus ended up on the cross as a common criminal. How many of you agree? That's a total letdown. Very unlikely hero. My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand this. That was exactly the turning point. It was on that cross that Colossians 2 verse 13 to 15 tell us, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. That was the turning point. Satan thought that he has won when he nailed Jesus to the cross. But every blow of the hammer, he sealed his own death. He sealed his own defeat. It was on that cross Satan's power was demolished and destroyed. It was the greatest turnaround in the history of the world. And because of that cross, our lives can never be the same again. Hallelujah. On that cross, he who never committed a crime stood as a criminal. He who never married stood as an adulterer. He who never stole a thing stood as a thief. He who never killed stood as a murderer. He who never lied stood as a liar. And he did it all for you and for me. And because of what happened on that cross, it is now possible for man to be reconciled back to God. What a game changer. It is now possible for our sins to be forgiven. It is now possible for our sicknesses to be healed, our bondages to be broken, and our lives to be transformed. And we all say amen to that, isn't it? Why? Because on that cross, Isaiah 53, go on to say this in verse 4 and 5. He took our pain, bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. Through that cross, the penalty of sin was paid in full and the power of sin was broken. And today, we, the redeemed of the Lord, are on the winning side. And we are fighting now from a position of victory. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we say amen to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 to 39 recorded these beautiful verses. No, in all these things, Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters of Sun Life Church, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And God has given us the victory in Christ Jesus. Today, you and I, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, have you ever asked yourself what it means to be more than conqueror? You know, conqueror is already tops, right? So how to be more than conqueror? What exactly does that mean? The best way I can illustrate it for you is this. You know, you've got to capture this because this is really who we are. You know, imagine if you can, that I make my living by being a professional boxer. Now, I know that takes a lot of imagination, but just try. Okay, I'm a professional boxer. So what do? I go in the morning and I do my job. I bash my opponent up, my opponent bash me up, and I'm blue and black all over, but I won. And so I took the prize money, right? I'm a conqueror. I conquered, took the prize money. I went home, I knocked on my door. My wife opened the door. She sticks her hand out and says, "Where is it?" And then I meekly pass the prize money to her. I'm a conqueror. What's my wife? More than conqueror, yeah. I'm a conqueror, but she is more than conqueror. Now, I'm the one that got bashed up, right? I'm the one that had to go to the ring and get bruised and bitten and all of that. But who's enjoying the benefits of all that I've done? My wife, right? So how many of you agree? I'm a conqueror, no doubt, but she is what? More than conqueror. We laugh, but that's exactly what happened on the cross. That's exactly what happened. Our unlikely hero, Jesus Christ was the one who went to the cross. He was the one who was bruised and battered. But who is enjoying the benefits of the cross today? We are. You are. I am. So Jesus is our conqueror. But we are what? We are more than conquerors. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, today, we who are in Christ, we have become more than conquerors through our unlikely hero, Jesus Christ. That's why Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, tell us this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And you know what? Because of our unlikely hero, Jesus Christ, today we enjoy the benefits of the cross. Everything Jesus bought for us, salvation, freedom, healing, joy, everything is ours to enjoy. And we thank God for Jesus. Why don't you stand with me this morning as we take a few moments. And wherever you are, why don't you just lift your hearts to God and just thank Him. You know, thank Him for being the one who took everything on the cross, so that today we can be more than conquerors, so that today we can enjoy the benefits of the cross. So wherever you are, why don't you take a moment to do that? You know, lift your hearts to God, lift your hands to God and just thank Him. Open your mouth and just talk to Him and say, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done. All the benefits that You brought on the cross today is ours to enjoy. And we thank You for doing this. We give You glory. We give You praise for this. You know, this morning, there may be some of us here. You come in this morning, maybe there's something you really need God to just come and intervene, and for God to just come and turn things around. Maybe you come without that joy, the peace, the love that is meant for you. It's for you to enjoy. Maybe some of us here need a touch from the Lord, a healing from Him. Why don't we just turn to God and say, Father, thank You that You make me more than conqueror. You are my unlikely hero, but You are the game changer of my life. Maybe some of us here, you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This morning, you can turn to Him and say, God, I want to know You. Jesus, I want to know You. And I believe Jesus can meet you where you are. So if that is your situation, lift your hearts to the Lord and we pray. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that You come and bring us that revelation that Jesus, even though You are the most unlikely hero, but God, You are the greatest game changer on earth. Lord, on that cross, You did the greatest turnaround the world have ever experienced. You took a sinful people and You turn us into Your sons and daughters. We thank You for this. Lord, I pray that this morning You bring that revelation to us. God, that truly we are the ones who are made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may You do that. Come and touch, come and heal, come and save. Come and bring Your peace and Your shalom to each one of us. Lord, thank You. Send us away from this place with our hearts once again in love with Jesus, grateful to You. And God, we lay hold of all that You've done for us on the cross and we apply it to ourselves this morning. Come and heal for those who need a healing. Come and comfort for those who need Your comfort. Come, Lord, and fill our hearts once again with love, joy, peace, and hope. And we give You the glory and we give You the praise for this. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's worship Him together.